Let's give the Lord a pause, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. I just thank the Lord for my salvation and the privilege and the honour just to share His word. I thank God for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for their faithfulness. For their faithfulness. And you know, I just thank the Lord for my beautiful wife and my children. I just thank God for everything that He's done in my life, because I know that, as Curtis said, where would we be if the Lord never had touched us? I would have been dead. And I thank God for His saving grace, His amazing saving grace. I just want to just leave the Lord's placed a word in my heart this morning, and it's, you know what, we're blessed to succeed. How many people agree that you're blessed to succeed? That God's plan is for you to succeed. For God's plan is for you to become everything that He has called you to be. He brought you out of darkness for a reason. He set you free for a reason. He restored you for a reason. He called you for a reason. We are blessed to succeed. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. See, we need to understand this morning, church, that God has blessed us and enabled us to grow in our faith. Because we know that it's faith that pleases God when we step out and we trust His word, when we're obedient to His calling, when we're obedient to Him speaking those words to us, when we step out and trust in Him, that you know what, that's how our faith grows. He has blessed us with the tools and resources that we need to succeed. He has blessed us with everything that we need to succeed, to have a good life. Because how many know that God has called us to not just have a good life, but to live a God life? See, God has blessed us with everything that we need to have a blessed life, to be productive. And what I want to look at today, when I was praying and asking for the Lord to show me a message, He came to the book of Matthew about the Beatitudes. And I was looking at the Beatitudes, and I believe, you know what, that it's God's prescription for a healthy life and a blessed life. That God has given us the Beatitudes, that we can look at them and we can apply them. And when we apply them to our life, then we can live that blessed life. See, it's a blessed life, it's an inward blessing. Because you know that when you're blessed. See, you can be blessed when you have nothing. You can be blessed when you're going through it. You can be blessed when everything round about you tells you the opposite. But when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's an inward blessing. There's a joy that comes from inside, knowing it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what people say. It's what God says in His Word. And He has called us to be blessed. He has called us to live in the overflow. He has called us to grow and become everything that He has called us to be. And the Beatitudes is in Matthew 5, 3, 11. I'm going to read through them quickly. Then we're going to sort of break them down. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many know that Victory Outreach Manchester is a hungry church? I say there's a hungry church, and I don't mean hungry for chicken or hungry for kebabs. I mean hungry for the presence of God, that we know that in the presence of God, that chains can be broken, that shackles can be removed, that healing can come. See, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. See, each beatitude tells us how to be blessed. And it's more than a happiness. It's blessed. It means it's an experience of hope and joy. No matter what's happening outward, it's an experience of inward. Because you know when your life's been changed. You know when you've been touched by Jesus Christ. You know when you've got the joy down in your soul. You know that you are blessed. See, we've got to understand that even in the midst of the battle, that you can be blessed. That even in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, even in the midst of the chaos, that Jesus Christ wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us to look at the circumstances. He doesn't want us to look at the problem, but he wants us to look at the Creator. Because when you know the Creator, there's a peace of God that passes all understanding. See, we are called to be blessed. See, we are called to be blessed, to live a blessed life. See, in prayer the other morning, I felt such a peace knowing that I was loved and blessed. That it doesn't matter what anybody else tells me. It doesn't matter even how I feel sometimes. But I knew when I was in the presence of God that I was loved and I was blessed. See, Jesus wants us to be blessed no matter what's happening. He wants you to be blessed going in the middle, and coming out of the battle. He wants you to be blessed knowing who you are in Christ, knowing your identity, knowing your worth, knowing your value, knowing your purpose, knowing you've been called, selected, and handpicked for such a time like this. Knowing that if God is for you, who can be against you? Knowing that you are more than a conqueror. Knowing you can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. See, that's the blessed life. Knowing no matter what's in front of you, but knowing who's inside you. That the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave, that it lives in you. That resurrection spirit, that power to overcome, that power to go forward, that power to take ground, that power to go to the next level, that power to keep going, is the same power, the same spirit as in Christ is in you today. If that's not a reason to be blessed, then I don't know what is a reason. See, we are blessed that no matter what anybody says, no matter what the doctor says, that we trust in Jesus. And if God is for us, if Jesus says it's yours, then it's yours. If Jesus says it's yours, then you need to take it. You need to step out. You need to trust in Him. The promise of God is yes and amen. See, no matter what, you are blessed. You are blessed. But see, the problem is, we look at the circumstances too much. Our focus goes on the circumstances. We start to look it out. We count our pennies in our pocket instead of trusting in God that He's a provider, that He'll take care of our children, that He'll take care of our marriage, that He'll take care of our family. You know what? We've got to trust God because we are blessed. See, there needs to be a mindset that I'm blessed. We just can't settle for anything apart from God's best for our life. See, when you start settling for other stuff, you ain't settling for God's best. See, God wants the best for you. God has the best job for you. God has the best partner for you. God has the best future for you. God has the best this for you. Because God knows best. He created you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He's got your name written in the palm of His hand. He knows your fall shorts. He knows your tears. He knows when you're going through it. But the good thing, He is with us. He is with us. He knows, and He's there alongside us to get us through. Because hey, you know what? It gets hard and it gets difficult and it gets tough. But that's when you need to cry out and trust in Jesus. You need to cry out and know that if He has promised it, then it will come to pass. But see what? The enemy wants to rob that blessing. The enemy wants to rob that blessing. He doesn't want you to have the peace. He doesn't want you to have the joy. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to have that inner peace knowing who you are in Christ. He wants to steal your identity. He wants to steal who you are in Christ. But you need to hold on. You need to dig deep. You need to trust in God. I was looking at a portion of scripture in Genesis 32 when Jacob was wrestling. And there's one thing that he said, you know what? He said in verse 26 of 32, it says, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. See, we need to hold on for a breakthrough. We need to press in, and we can't give up. You don't give up because your blessing is on the way. You cannot give up because your blessing is ready to come. You cannot give up because when you give up, that might be the time when your blessing is there. But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep wrestling. You've got to keep trusting. You've got to keep fighting. You've got to keep going further and keep pressing in and keep pressing in until the blessing comes. See, today I wanted to look at the Beatitudes. And when we break down the Beatitudes, you know what? It says in the first one, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, poor in spirit means to be humble. Humility is the realization that all your gifts and blessings come from the grace of God. To have poverty of spirit means to be completely empty and open to the word of God. See, when we are empty, cup and free of pride, then we are humble. See, that's what God is looking for, because humility brings an openness and an inner peace, allowing one to do the will of God. See, we've got to understand this morning that God wants us to be poor in spirit, that God wants us to be empty of ourselves. See, we were singing that song earlier, more of you and less of me. And I was crying out, God, God, give me more of you. And he's like, yeah, I'll give you more of you, but you need to get ready to let more of you. See, the problem is that we ain't got more of him. It's because we've still got loads of us. See, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves, and we need to be open to what God wants to do in our life. See, when I was looking at that word poor, poor in spirit means that you have no moral riches and you're in need. How many are in need for Jesus? How many people need Jesus? How many people really, really need Jesus? That you need him for breakfast, that you need him for dinner, that you need him for your supper, that you can't go through the day without him, that you need him more and more and more and more. Because that word poor in the Greek, it means being reduced to a beggar. Being reduced to a beggar. See, you see a beggar on the street with their McDonald's cup. The reason why I know it was a McDonald's cup, because I was a beggar before. And it was a McDonald's cup, and you were desperate for someone to put change in there so you could eat. You were desperate for someone to give you money because you done it to get drugs. See, a homeless person, a beggar in the street, is dependent on someone dropping something in their cup. See, as Christians, our dependency has been like beggars, and need to be dependent on Jesus Christ coming through. Being dependent on a word from Jesus. Being dependent on a healing from Jesus. Being dependent that Jesus has got our family covered. Being dependent that our kids are going to be safe. Being dependent, like, you know what? If he doesn't come through, I ain't going to make it. But we know that he always comes through. That he will never leave you, nor forsake you, that he will never let his children beg for bread. That if you trust in him, if you believe in him, and you know what, and you have that mindset that I'm trusting in him for everything. See, that's what God is looking for. That's what he's looking for. Those that are desperate for him. Those that are willing to step out. Those that are willing to be radical. Those that are willing to go above and beyond the call of duty. Those that are willing to go in a Piccadilly and be radical. And it doesn't matter if you see a workmate. It doesn't matter if you see one of your friends. It doesn't matter if you see someone else. Because they'll know you're radical for Jesus. Because you're desperate, that if you ain't got him, you ain't got nothing. See, that's being empty. That's being empty and trusting in him, knowing that if God does not come through, I ain't gonna make it. I know that I trust in God, and by faith, he comes through every time. Every time he comes through. Every time. Last week, hallelujah, passed my driving test. Oh, stay off the road. You're warned. But you know what? The reason why I wanted to share about that, because I failed it a few times. Hello. But I never failed it because I was a bad driver. Well, I failed it because I was prideful. And what happened the last time? You set your test at the fire station there. And for the last two times before that, I had the same man. So, being prideful, I booked the same man the third time again because I wanted to show him that I can drive. See, the first time he failed me, I said, he's not going to fail me the second time. The second time he failed me, I said, he definitely ain't going to fail me the third time. But you know what? I was in prayer in the morning and God really dealt with me. He says, you've just been prideful. You've just been prideful. I went, all right. So I was on my knees and I was broken and I repented. So I went to the station and the guy came out. And there was two instructors came out and there was me sitting. And I looked at the guy and I was saying, nah. Another guy said, Kevin Keenan. I went, thank you. You'll do it for me. But see, and I passed my test. And I give God the glory. But God had to deal with that pride. If I hadn't dealt with that pride, I'd still be taking tests in 2016. Because sometimes we need God to rebuke us to learn the lesson. And I learned a valuable lesson. It's no cheap. And when I've just died to self and emptied myself, then you know what? I'd have probably passed it in 2012. But I didn't, and I've learned my lesson. So God gets the glory. And it says that blessed are the mourn, for they will be comforted. You know what? If we are humble and appreciate that all our gifts and blessings come from God, we grow in love and the gratitude for Jesus Christ as our Savior. But this can only produce mourning. Regret over our sins, we mourn when we mess up, when we fall short. Because how many know that everybody falls short? Everybody makes mistakes. But it's not about making the mistakes, it's about getting back up. It's about getting right with God. It's about that getting to that place where you know what? That you knowing that you've messed up, knowing that you've made mistakes, but knowing and trusting God that He's a God that forgives us. See, heaven is the joy of the Lord, a mountain of joy to which is a way through the tears. Such mourners shall be comforted by their God. See, mourning in this context is called a blessing because mourning our fallen nature creates in us a desire to improve ourselves and do what right. See, the enemy wants you to stay down. There is people in here right now that you're down. There's people in here that you're down right now, but the word of the Lord says today, get up, take your position. You've been down too long, it's time to fight. That's for someone this morning, you know what, you've been down too long. You need to get up, take your position, and get up and fight. See, when we get up and fight, then we fall into the Father's arms. We know that when we mess up, we know that we need His mercy. That we need His mercy every day. We need His mercy. You know what? We need to cry out for His mercy. I know when I got saved, I cried out for His mercy because I didn't deserve it. I was a messed up heroin addict, in and out prison, no hope, no future. But God in His grace and His mercy, He gave me a chance. He opened His door. He opened His arms and He welcomed me. Because you know what? We need that mercy every day. We need to cry out for that mercy. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, there's many people in here that God has given you chance after chance after chance because He loves you and He wants you to make it and He wants to restore you and He wants you to become everything that God has called you to be. But you need to get to that place that you know what, that you need to fall in to the Father's arms. You need to stop leaning on your own understanding. You need to stop trying to work it out yourself and trusting God that He'll come through, trusting God that He loves you, trusting God that He wants the best for you. See, when we get to that place, when we mourn, when we are crying out for His mercy, when we are crying out for His forgiveness, knowing that we have messed up, we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in God, church. There's many people that you've lost your trust in God. You've lost that trust. Stuff's happened, you've lost that trust, but you need to get that trust back. You need to get that trust back and get right back on the path. Get right back on the path that God has called you to be on. See, knowing that God's mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Imagine God gave us what we deserved. Would any of us be here? Would any of us be in this church today if God really gave us what we deserved? I don't think. if God really gave us what we deserved. But because of his mercy, we can walk this walk. Because of his mercy, we can get back up. We can dust ourselves off and we can move forward again. We can walk towards the promise that he has for us in his mercy. See, it says also that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. See, the meek are those who are quietly submitted to God, who can bear insult, who in their patience will not compromise the things of God when they're not feeling good. See, these meek ones are happy even in this world. Meekness promotes wealth, comfort and safety even in this world. See, the meek do not retaliate. How many know that the tongue has the power of life and death? The meek are quiet. The meek are gentle. I look at my wife. My wife's meek. But I was the opposite. I was like a bull in a china shop. Where she was meek and quiet, I was more like the bull in the china shop. And you know what? I was looking up that word meek, and it can mean a horse that's been broken. A horse that's been broken. And we see those wild horses before they get broken, they're stubborn. They're prideful. They want to do it their own way. And that's like many of us before we come to Christ. We're stubborn and we're prideful and we want to do it our own way. But it takes Christ breaking us. It takes Christ getting a hold of our lives. It takes us, see that wild horse that will never submit to its master. You see it in the films and you see it in the documentaries when they're trying to tame this wild horse. It kicks and it bucks and it knocks them all over the place. That's what we're like sometimes when people try to help us, when people try to come around about us, when people want to pray for us and people want to minister to us and people want to show us love, and we kick and we buck and we come against it. Because I know when I went into the men's home 10 years ago, I was like that stubborn mule. I kicked against the system. I kicked against authority. I kicked against everything. But one day Christ broke me. One day Christ really broke me in the sanctuary. And when he broke me in that sanctuary, he started to do that work in my life. See, you've got to understand that God wants us to be broken, that God wants us to be submitted, that God wants us to be surrendered, that God wants us. You know what? Because sometimes the horses, they kick and they kick and they kick. And that was like me. I kicked and I kicked too. I couldn't kick no more. Then Christ came in and said, let me take over. And that's what he's saying today, let me take over. Stop kicking against it. Stop kicking against them. Stop kicking against the system. Stop kicking against authority. Stop kicking against it and surrender and submit to God. We need to understand that that's what Christ is saying today. Many people, God is saying, it's time for me to take control. It's time for me to let me fight your battles. It's time for me to give you wisdom. It's time for you to let me help you raise up your kids. I had an incident the other day there with my daughter. I've got a daughter at 19. She sent me a message. She was in trouble. She was saying basically that there was people threatening her. She's in a relationship with a young guy, and she messaged me saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm in trouble. I'm getting a lot of trouble. The boyfriend's getting a lot of trouble. People were threatening him with hammers and knives and all that stuff." And she said, "Is there any way you can come up and go to their door for me?" And I'm sitting reading this, and everything inside of me was wanting to just jump in my car because I've passed my test. Hello. So I would have been legal. Everything inside of me wanted to jump in the car, start it up, and go. At one point, I'd already been in contact with my cousin for to meet me up there. And you know what? But God started to speak to me. He said, "Kevin, let me fight your battle for your children. Kevin, let me stand in the gap for your children. Kevin, she maybe be kicking and kicking and kicking right now, but one day she'll be standing with you with her hands raised." And that's for many people in here. You need to let Christ fight your battles. You need to let God take control, that he knows the plans he has for your children. Plans to prosper them. Plans to give them a hope and a future, even when everyone else else gives up, Jesus Christ will not give up. You need to trust in him for your mother. You need to trust in him for your father. You need to trust in him for everybody in your family, because the Bible says, blessed are those who trust in me. Believe in me and your household shall be saved. It's a promise we hold on to. And that day God remembered me and showed me that promise. And he says, Kevin, believe and your household shall be saved. And you know what? I've taken that. And I've allowed God. And even just like the other night, she texts me, how are you doing and everything. And I've sort of taken my hand off and I'm letting Christ take control. Because everything inside of me wants to go up and just grab her and bring her down. Or take her somewhere, maybe into the women's home or something. Everything inside of me wants to do that. But when you trust in God and you let him fight your battles and you allow him to give you the wisdom and you allow him to take charge and you allow him to be the center and you allow him to be number one and you allow him to take control, then let me tell you, then the victory is with the Lord. See, there's many people, there's madness happening round about in your family, but you need to trust in the Lord. You cannot do the job of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we try and do the job of the Holy Spirit. We need to let go, step back, and let Christ take control. Amen. It says in number 4, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what I love about this church. There's such a desire and such a hunger for God. There's such a passion. We see it in the worship team. You know what? I remember a couple of weeks, I think it was when they were doing the thing at the university, the students, we met a girl who used to be in the church, and was speaking to her, and she said, I was like, because I thought she was still in the church, but she'd just left or something. She said, one of the reasons why I left is because they worship God too much. I was like, wow. I said, is that not a blessing? She said, they worship too long. I was like, wow. I said, the enemy's robbing you. They worship Christ too long. They worship too much time in worship and no enough word. I was like, wow. I had to end up just saying, we'll pray for you. But in this church, there's a desire and a hunger for God. There's a desire that people want to become everything that God has called them to be. There's a desire knowing that only Jesus Christ can satisfy us. There's a desire knowing that only Jesus Christ can comfort us. There's a desire knowing that when we're empty, he'll fill us up. There's a desire that knows that when we go deeper in the things of Christ, we go from glory to glory to glory. When we go deeper in the things of Christ, you know what? Then God opens doors. We go to the new levels. We get breakthroughs. See, we need to understand that there needs to be a desire. There needs to be a fresh passion. There needs to be a fresh hunger. Especially going into 2014. The hunger you had in 2013, you need to get more hungry. You need to get more desperate. You need to get more excited for Jesus. As we go into 2014, this church is going to explode. Nobody believes that. I said, this church is going to explode. This church is going to explode. See, because of the hungriness, because of the desire of people, then when people are like that, God turns up. How many know that God turns up? We've seen it and felt it earlier. The Holy Spirit was here. There was a passion. There was people crying out. There was people worshiping God. See, that's the hunger that Christ is looking for. Because he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, if you have not filled, then you ain't hungry enough. If you ain't filled, then you ain't hungry enough. See, you need to get hungry for the things of God. See, it's that hunger, that desire that God is looking for. It's that hunger that keeps you going until something happens. It's that hunger that keeps you going till you see change. It's that hunger that keeps you going when other people are cutting out, when other people are falling back. It's the hunger that you have that keeps you going and keeps you going. When I was looking in the Gospels, there's a story in Luke 5. And in 17 to 20, I'll read it quick. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him in on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins have been given. There was a hunger, there was a desperation, there was a desire that they had to get to Jesus. That they had to get to Jesus. That's where his healing was. That's where his breakthrough was. That's where his deliverance was. See, we need to have that mindset that we cannot look anywhere else, that we need to look to Jesus. When we're needing provision, when we're needing a breakthrough, when we're needing healing, we look to Jesus. That's the hunger. That's the desperation. That's the thirst that God is looking for. Because at that place, he will fill you. He will give you the passion. You'll be overflowing. You'll be excited. You'll have the joy down in your soul. You'll be glad that Jesus has set you free. The desire, the hunger, the passion, the determination that no matter what, you're going to go forward for Christ. The Bible says it's the laborer's appetite that drives him. See, what is driving you today, church? Is your appetite for Christ driving you? Are you hungry for God? Are you not want to become stale? Because many people, they settle for where they're at. They're content at where they're at. They're happy at where they're at. But let me tell you right now, there's more. There's more for you. There's more for you. But you just need to get that hunger back. You just need to get that passion back. You need to be pursuing his holiness. You need to be looking to be refreshed. You need to be looking that when you're dry, he will come and he will touch your life. When you're empty, he'll come and fill you. But you need to come to him. There needs to be that hunger. There needs to be that determination. There needs to be that, you know what, I ain't cutting out till I get my blessing. See, it also says that blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. When I was thinking of this, we must not only bear our own afflictions, but we must do all we can to help those who are in misery. We must have compassion on the souls of others and help them. Pity those who are messed up, and in the same mercy we were shown when we were messed up is the same mercy that we need to show to others. See, today when we're on the streets, we need to show mercy. We need to show mercy to the alcoholic and the drug addict, to the homosexual, to the prostitute. We need to show the same love that we were shown. See, this was an area that I struggled in the past, but now I'm learning the significance of this. Where originally, everything was black and white to me. No, wait, everything was black. I either loved you or I didn't love you. Everything was black and white. It was straightforward. I couldn't see. If someone had done me something wrong, I held it. But let me tell you right now, when it says blessed are the merciful, when I came to Manchester, I saw Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. I saw people coming against them. I saw people bad mouthing them. I saw people stabbing them in the back. But week in and week out, they would show mercy. They would show their hand. They would still welcome. Their arms would be open. But we need to show that same kind of mercy. We need to trust in God. See, Luke 6:36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We cannot hold no grudges. We cannot hold stuff against people. We cannot be walking around holding stuff, holding grudges, holding things against people that done stuff to us. We need to show mercy. The same mercy that we were shown is the same mercy that we need to show. See, that's how you're blessed, when you show that mercy. When you show that mercy, when someone comes against you, that you show them the love of Christ. When people talk back, you show them the love of Christ. When people are trying to bring, you show them the love of Christ. You show them the same mercy that the Father showed you. It says also that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When I think of the pure in heart, I think of Hilda. I've never ever came across someone who's so pure in heart. So she was a gem. She was a beautiful old lady. She was on fire for Jesus. She know what? She loved God and she loved people. She was pure. She never had a bad word to say about anybody. She never, everything was good. Everything was Jesus. Everything was blessed. Everything was happy. And you know what? It triggered something that used to, even when you were in her company, you left knowing that she's such a pure lady. She was pure in heart. And I know right now she's in a blessed place. She's in a blessed place because of her pure in heart. See, but Jesus says the pure in heart shall see God. To be pure of heart means to be free of all selfish intentions and self-seeking desires. See, what a beautiful goal. That's what Christ desires from us, to be blessed, to be pure in heart. That you know what? That we're always putting the interests of other people first. That we are not talking bad, but we are lifting up. That we are encouragers. That we are encouragers, but sometimes we allow our hearts to get polluted. We need to be open in prayer to allow God to cleanse us from things when the world tries to pollute us and corrupt us. We maybe have opened the door to sin and allowed the little foxes to spoil the vine. We look at David who messed up with Bathsheba. But in Psalm 51 verse 10 it says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." See, David had messed up. He had fallen short. He had made a mistake. But he knew that he needed a pure heart to carry on. He knew that his heart had been polluted and he needed it to be cleansed. See, there's many people today that our hearts could have been polluted. We've allowed the enemy to come in. We've allowed the little foxes to come in. We've allowed the little stuff to come in, the little niggles to come in. But God wants our hearts to be pure. God wants our hearts to be pure and after him this morning. That God wants that pure heart. He blesses that pure heart. He's looking for that pure heart, unpolluted, undiluted. He's looking for that pureness. Those that say, you know what, that Jesus, I love you no matter what. That Jesus, you know what, that even when I mess up, I repent right now and I want my heart to be right. I don't want no unforgiveness in this heart. I don't want no jealousy in this heart. I don't want no pride in this heart. I want my heart to be pure for you. I don't know about you, but that's my prayer. Lord, let my heart be pure for you. Remove anything that can make it not pure. Take away anything that hinders the relationship with you. Remove anything that gets in the way between me and you. See, sometimes we need to be like that. We need to be bold in prayer and say, God, create a pure heart in me. And allow him to remove that stuff. Allow him to remove that stuff that sometimes creeps in. That unforgiveness that creeps in. That pride that creeps in. That rejection that creeps in sometimes. When something happens and all of a sudden we feel rejected. We feel hurt. We feel let down. Then before we know, we're carrying it. But Jesus is saying today, blessed are the pure in heart. Let go. Let me cleanse you. Let me purify you. Let me make your heart pure for me. See, that's what he's saying today. We need to have the pure heart. That's what he's looking for. The pure heart. And also says, blessed are the peacemakers. See, God wants us to be peacemakers. But sometimes with our mouths we're fire starters. Is there anybody that used to be a fire starter in here? Always wanting the last word, hello. Never give up the right to be right. Always trying to prove their point. Never wrong. See, when I first got saved, I couldn't understand this value. In the world, peacemakers were weak. To back down from something meant you were weak. But as a Christian, we need to be peacemakers. We need to stop being the problem and being part of the solution. See, being a peacemaker is part of being surrendered to God, for God brings peace. See, we abandon the effort to get our needs met through the destruction of our enemies. Because sometimes, you know what, when somebody messes up and they've done something against us and we've got a bit of an issue with them, or we've got a bit of a problem with them, and we see them messed up and going through it, sometimes we tend to laugh. Hello. Sometimes we tend to say, I will, deserved it. Am I speaking to anybody today? That you know what, that you see that brother or sister and they're going through a hard time. Instead of being the peacemaker, really was, hello. I can't say that in the pulpit. And what happens? We tend to look back and we say, they get what they deserve. Or the pastor's preaching and they're saying, that word's for you. That word's for sister such and such. Or that word's for brother such and such. He needs to get that CD. But really, God is pointing at us and he's showing to us that, you know what? That we need to be peacemakers. We need to, see, God comes to us to make peace. We participate in God's grace as the followers of Jesus have been called to peace. See, when he called them, they found peace, for he is their peace. But now they are told they must not only have peace, but make it. And to that, they renounce all violence. See, we cannot be encouraging stuff. We need to be the peacemakers. See, you hear Pastor Paul, I've heard him saying a few times that there's many people out there that they would walk by a homeless person just to win a doctrine argument, just to win a theology argument, instead of when there's someone there messed up, when there's someone there homeless, or there's someone there tore up. But they want to get the last word. They want to argue doctrine. They want to fight about this and fight about that. What about just being the peacekeeper? As long as Jesus Christ is center, it doesn't matter. As long as he's the Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter. As long as Christ is first, it doesn't matter. Let's be the peacekeeper instead of arguing with each other. Let's get out there and let's speak to the souls. Let's speak to the hurting. Let's forget about our problems and let's look to the problems of the other people and be peacekeepers. Come with the solution. Come with the good news. Come with, you know what, and tell the people there's a way out. That's a peacekeeper. Because there's people out there, they're tormented. There's people out there, they're all messed up. There's people out there, they're all over the place. But the Bible says, blessed are the peacekeepers. We need to go out with the peace of God. We need to go out and tell the people that, you know what, that you don't need to be tormented. You don't need to be messed up. You don't need to be living like that. Let me tell you about the God of peace. Let me tell you about Jesus. He'll bring peace to your situation. He'll bring peace to your battle. He'll bring peace to your life. He'll bring peace. We need to be the peacekeepers. See, we've got to understand that blessed are the peacekeepers, for they will be called children of God. See, we need to be peacekeepers. We need to go out there and be peacekeepers. And it says, number the 1 and 8 says, blessed are those who are persecuted. I love this one. Because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Jesus said many times that those who follow him will be persecuted. If they persecute me, they will persecute you, it says in John. See, Stephen, Paul, and Peter, and nearly all of the apostles and many Christians in the Roman times were persecuted. See, we live in a fallen world where stuff happens. We need to trust in God that he will be with us. We need to trust in God that when we're out there, yeah, things are going to come against us. People are going to come against us. Stuff's going to happen in our life. But we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God that he is with us. It says in Isaiah 41 verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. For those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. See, we need to understand that we're going to get hard times. We're going to go through some stuff. People are going to come against us. Maybe even in the streets today, people will come against us. But we need to know we're going out under the anointing of Jesus Christ. We need to know we're going out as an army. We're going out as representatives of God's grace in our lives. That we're going out to tell people the good news. And if they come against us, then it must mean that we're going forward. If they come against us, it must mean we're taking ground. If they're coming against us, we need to stand upon the word of God that He says that He will be with us. We need to round up together as an army. And you go forward for Jesus, because it doesn't matter who comes against you. It doesn't matter what they throw at you. It doesn't matter even if they spit at you. It doesn't matter what they say to you. What matters is that you're doing the will of God, and you will be blessed. You will be blessed when you go in. You will be blessed when you go out. You will be blessed because Jesus Christ is for you and not against you. See, we live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. But we need to trust in God that He will be with us. See, we cannot run away or cut out. We look at that in a lot of countries when they've got the underground churches. That even if people get caught with Bibles, they get persecuted. I don't know about you, but that's Holy Ghost boldness. That's Holy Ghost boldness. That's a dependency on Christ. Thank God it doesn't happen here in Manchester. Because how many of us would still carry our Bibles? How many of us would still carry our Bibles? How many of us would still call on the name of Jesus? How many of us would still give God all the glory? How many of us would still put Christ first? Do we really think about that? That you know what? That there's people worldwide dying for the name of Jesus Christ. There's people being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. But He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, we need to trust God. We need to trust God. And just as the worship team get ready to come up, it says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. See, Jesus wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to live the blessed life. He wants us to be blessed knowing our security is in Him. Being blessed that our identity is in Him. Being blessed that, you know what, that it doesn't matter what happens, that we still follow Him. That we never give up in Him. And as we stand to our feet today, bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you were like that, or you still like that, horse that's kicking. You're kicking against it. You're kicking against it. You're kicking against it. And God is saying, you know what, just surrender. Or maybe you've lost that hunger. Maybe you've lost that desire. Maybe you've forgotten about your first love. That He called you, that He rescued you, that He brought you out. See, sometimes we get caught up in other things and we forget our first love. And we lose that hunger. And we lose that desire. And we lose that appetite for Christ. I've been in that place myself. That I lost the hunger. I was losing the hunger. I was losing the desire that I had for God. Yeah, I was still doing ministry and I was still doing things, but you know what? There wasn't that same hunger. But when God got a hold of me and He said to me, son, you need to get your hunger back. Because when you get your hunger back, then you can become everything that I've called you to be. And there's many people in this place today that you've lost that hunger for God. that you're just playing church, that you're just living day by day, that there isn't that desperation, that there isn't that desperation. You're in a place that doesn't matter if God doesn't come through, because you'll get through anyway. But God is saying today, you need to get to that place of desperation so I can show you my glory. See, there's many people in here that I believe that you need to show mercy, that there is stuff happening. And just like the Father has showed you mercy, that you need to stick out your hand of mercy. When was the last time you cried out for God? When was the last time you allowed Him to break you? When was the last time you got to that place and you allowed the Father just to come and break you? Because sometimes we can hold on to stuff from the past, stuff that's happened in our lives, stuff that's been done to us, stuff that we've been involved in, and we hold on to it, and we hold on to it, and we hold on to it. But I believe today that Jesus Christ is saying, let go. Let go and let me take control. Let me take control. And as the worship team get ready to worship, let this be an altar of brokenness. Let this be an altar of desperation. Let this be an altar of people that are hungry and thirsty for God. Let this be an altar for those that say, I want to be pure in heart, that I've allowed stuff to creep in, I've allowed stuff to come in, but today I want my heart to be pure. I don't want to go on the streets today unless my heart is pure. I don't want to go on the streets today unless my heart is right. Because how can I tell someone about the love of God if I don't feel the love of God myself? How can I tell someone about His mercy if I'm not willing to show mercy? How can I tell someone about God when I'm struggling myself? See, today that God wants you to connect to Him today. That God wants to pour out His Spirit today. That God wants to anoint you today. As the altars are open in the worship team, come.